Welcome everyone to the Big Book Workshop 2025. This is week 20 of the recording, and today's topic is again step four, the turnaround. A reminder that this is a Big Book Workshop. We are not affiliated with any particular 12-step fellowship. However, we do try to follow the spirit of the 12 traditions. We only wish to be helpful. The goal of these steps is a transformation, a change in the way we think, feel, and behave. This is a way of living that brings peace, forgiveness, and joy. May you find some of that here with us. So thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone. Welcome, 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 and good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. My name is Joanne, and today I am your facilitator and step guide, calling in from Australia. Winter, it is cold, and we show up one day at a time. I am closing my eyes and preparing for a prayer, and I invite you to pause in whatever you are doing. And if you can, to close your eyes and find a breath and to lean in. Use the set aside. God, please set aside everything I think I know about myself, about these 12 steps. About my spiritual path and you. Please open my heart and mind today for something new, a new experience with what it is to be me, what it is to be walking this path, this life with 12 steps, and what it is to live in connection to spirit one moment at a time. Thank you. Thank you so much, everyone. Welcome, welcome. Please take a pen and a piece of paper, bring ourselves into this space, a learning environment where we work through this life, this journey, when we do it with steps. What does that mean, and how can we do it today? All right. I'd like to take a moment to pause for our greeter so she can introduce herself. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Joe. And hello, everyone. My name's Carla H., and I'm your greeter here today. Welcome to our Big Book Workshop. And if you open up the Zoom chat, I'm just now putting in the welcome pack. You'll see the welcome pack. This is free to download and includes information about this workshop, links, and other helpful podcasts. For those of you on the telephone today, this welcome pack is also available on our website, www.bigbookworkshop.com. If you're having any technical difficulties or have any other questions, please let me know in the chat. You can click on the blue button with the pencil in it and get a list, and my name will be in there as the greeter. You will need your big book, a pen and paper for today's workshop, and enjoy the meeting. And thanks for this opportunity for service. I'll pass it back to you, Joe.
Thank you, Carla. Just before I get into some of the work we're going to be doing today, I'd like to pause for a minute to do Pass the Basket. If Marina has the script for that, I might call on you to read the script. But just a reminder that this workshop, Big Book Workshop, runs on donations. We have text messages and email and Zoom security and different admin software that we pay for every month to make it easy for us. It's just things that make it easier. We are not here to make a profit. We're donating our time, but we also try to make it easy for ourselves so that it's all automated. So we do have to pay for some things. Marina, did I cover everything in there? Let's go ahead.
Yes. I'll just read it quickly. Past the best, this group is fully self-supporting through our own contributions. We rely on your support each week. Your contribution helps, and we are grateful. You can make an anonymous donation using the link below. Thank you.
Thank you, Marina. Thank you for your service. So I think I've forgotten to put that little announcement in there the last couple of weeks. And so we'll just put it up the top of the meeting so that I remember to do it. So welcome, everyone. We're getting into some work, and I'm going to invite you to ask questions today around inventory, around that third and fourth column, the inventory. Looking at that big book, if you have it open, page 67. Laura, do you have your big book with you? If you could open to page 67, I'll get you to read a paragraph just to remind us of what we're doing and why. Page 67, when you're ready, there's a paragraph, and I get everyone to label it, column 4 in the margin. The paragraph starts with referring to our list again. Laura, would you read that for us when you're ready?
Yeah, I have it. Referring to our list again, putting out of our minds the wrongs others had done, we resolutely looked for our own mistakes. Where had we been selfish, dishonest, self-seeking, and frightened? Though a situation had not been entirely our fault, we tried to disregard the other person involved entirely. Where were we to blame? The inventory was ours, not the other man's. When we saw our faults, we listed them. We placed them before us in black and white. We admitted our wrongs honestly and were willing to set these matters straight.
Thank you so much, Laura. So now we're moving into what we call column 4. In the big book, it's just that paragraph on page 67. So I call it's called column 4. What I'm teaching you here, I call it extended column work. Okay, so when I refer to this work, I don't say I'm doing Joe's work, I'm doing Joe's homework. I don't say I'm doing Herb's work. I say that I'm doing extended column work. That's a very important tradition of kind of anonymity here. It's not about me, and it's not about the sponsors that taught me. It's about this big book, bringing it back to this mystery that we're part of, and letting go of the individuals that were involved, to be anonymous. So for me to lean into this idea that what I'm teaching here is extended column work, it's a huge tradition for me to teach that and to pass that on. So we're disregarding the other person. So Laura, who was looking at resentment against self and resentment against that, I am the victim of my anxiety. We need to now disregard the anxiety. And I'm going to ask Laura some questions because anxiety is close to my heart. It's my history too. And so here we are. I'm going to rhetorical. I'm not going to call you back, but I want you to have a pen and paper and think as we're going through and write down anything that comes to you. So the example for Claire, when I feel, this is what you ask yourself, everyone. When I feel like the rejected, unappreciated friend, whatever your story was, that's why it's very important to capture the perceived role. When I feel like Laura's example, the victim of my anxiety, when I feel that victim role, that hopelessness, and we go to question one, what do I do? What do I do? Regardless of the anxiety, Laura's anxiety, when you feel the victim of your anxiety, Laura, what do you don't it's a rhetorical question, but ask yourself, what do I do? I tell you what I do. When I feel like the victim of my anxiety, I probably eat. I probably hide in TV. I probably overshare, overspeak. I probably go into I send too many text messages. I'm constantly thinking what you should be doing and how I could be contributing and helping. I ruminate in my brain. It goes round and round and round. I don't take self-care actions, so I'm no longer sleeping. I'm no longer eating well. What am I doing? I'm leaning into, I don't shower sometimes. What is it I do when I feel in my bones that I am the victim of anxiety? What do I do? What actions do I take? This is the question you're going to be asking yourself. In each of these worksheets, it will be different. The example on the screen is Claire, who's been rejected. Well, me, this is my work. When Claire rejected me, I was the rejected, unappreciated friend. She didn't invite me to her party. So when I feel this feeling in my heart of being rejected and unappreciated friend, what do I do? And the example says, I cause stress to the people around me. I gossip. I'm short-tempered, snappy. I avoid the person. I avoided the lunchroom, like where they go to have lunch. I didn't want to see them. I avoided eye contact. I didn't want to like just hang out with them. So I would, if I saw them there, I would go pretend to be busy and go to the other end of the room. I judged them and criticized them in my mind and in private with other people. So I was gossiping. So what do you do when you feel the ignored spouse? What do you do? What does that resentment give you permission to do? What actions do you take when you feel this feeling? I'm not discounting the reality of it. Life has a lot of tragic experiences, a lot of very sad things that are going on. Today, what we're looking at is when I feel this role, this perceived role, what actions do I take? Number two is selfish thinking. I suggest that you just look for words starting with self and just write that down, the words that relate to what you're experiencing. For example, self-pity, self-loathing, self-righteous, perhaps self-abandon, words that start with self that relate to this particular resentment, whatever you've written down. We then go to question three, delusional or dishonest. I wrote down here, delusional that we are friends. Maybe we were friendly co-workers. I didn't care about her turning 30. I didn't know or like her family much. I just wanted to be invited. I wasn't very social with this girl at work, this woman. We just worked together. I didn't really want to celebrate her coming of age. I just wanted an invitation. Like I just didn't want to not be included. My motive was not pure. I did not have a pure motive. And I was just acknowledging that to myself. The other part is I enjoyed gossiping about how she'd done me wrong. And I had to think about that because, again, I do have a history of anxiety and social anxiety, and gossip is a way for me to feel included socially. It's a very easy social lubricant. I can have conversations and gossip. Nowadays, because gossip's been taken away from me, I'm having to look at the fact that I use melodies for a social lubricant. I will talk to you forever about all the things that are hurting in my body right now. And that's, it's not, I might have to let that go as well. It's like, gosh, well, if you take that away, what can I talk about, Marina? I have no idea. I don't know how to have conversations. If you take gossip away and I'm meditating on if I have to take maladies away, then what's left? What do people actually talk about? I have no idea. So, this dishonest and delusional, just recognizing my motive might be just trying to fit in socially or fill a blank space because I don't like silence. What's my motive? Right? This motive. Now, I'm going to jump down to question number nine. Oh, stay on here, please. Wait. I'm jumping down to question nine. Character defects, pride, delusional thinking, not letting go, judgmental. Now, if you look down at your worksheet and you have 10 or more, if you have lots of character defects in there, I remind you, consider letting go of all those character defects and just putting self-loathing. If you have felt like you can identify to every single character defect, I suggest the defect that is killing you the fastest is self-loathing. And that's the only one that you need to focus on today. Letting go of self-loathing. So sometimes our sponsees might have many, many names in many character defects in there. That's a huge red flag for me that the only character defect they need to look at is self-loathing. Okay, so just thinking about that. Number 10, what is the payoff? Number 10 is in the step process, step six. To be willing to let it go. That's step six. And then step seven is letting it go. Step six, to be willing. First of all, I have to see what the payoff is. Very important question. What is the payoff, the value of the character defect? So if I recognize gossip, so for example, for me, it doesn't come up here, I'm not seeing it, but gossip, right, was a huge character defect, gossiping. What is the payoff to gossiping? And I had to see in question number 10 what the payoff was, that social lubrication made it easier to talk to people. There's also a vicarious thrill when I am complaining about stuff. It creates adrenaline. The self-pity creates adrenaline. My body doesn't recognize that I'm just gossiping, or that I'm feeling sorry for myself. My body only recognizes threat, the saber-toothed tiger. So when I indulge in self-pity, my body releases adrenaline because it thinks there's a saber-toothed tiger. It doesn't realize it's just me complaining about myself. My body releases adrenaline, and that can become the core of our addiction, just craving adrenaline to get out the door, to get through the day, to get out of bed. I'm using the self-pity as a motivation, as a higher power, as a try, it's not a higher power, but as a power source to get me out the door. Question 10 asks you to recognize that these character defects are giving you something, and we are not able to let them go until we see what is missing, what they are giving me, and I find an alternative that might be more healthy. Right. So I was using gossip to perhaps give myself adrenaline, but also perhaps to create social conversations to be able to talk to people. So maybe I might need to practice different communication or to be willing to sit in silence for a moment in those social and just say, hey, what's going on for you? Maybe I need to practice how to have a conversation without any of these things. You know, I might need to practice or to talk about it. I don't know. Question 10 is asking you to recognize these character defects have a payoff, and until I see what that payoff is, I won't be able to move on. I will stay in this cycle. Okay, so that's big information. We just keep practicing and learning. We come to the real role. Up the top, I'm the rejected, unappreciated friend. I look at myself and I look at the character defects. I'm not making eye contact. I'm gossiping. I'm judging her. I'm critical. I walk out of the lunchroom when she walks in. I'm not being very kind. And I recognize I'm unappreciating and rejecting coworker. I don't appreciate that she shows up and she does work for me. And I walk out of the room and I don't make eye contact. That is rejection. I'm giving her the cold shoulder. That's not great. And the irony is, years later, I recognized I wasn't actually the coworker, I was her employer. That's a story for another day. But it was this extra layer of realization of the delusional thinking. I didn't realize, I didn't see. And sometimes it takes years for us to see the depth of the work that we do. So I now want to pause to come to questions. I will just briefly talk to this resentment against self. Now, you have this in the way of life documents. I'm not talking to every question here, but just when we came down to the end, the character defects, fear, self-pity, self-reliance. Self-reliance is a big one. If for me, like for a lot of us, we get into self-reliance. That's the vehicle with the square wheels. I try to fix my fear, fix my anxiety, fix my life, and I'm out of higher power. Like I'm in self-reliance. It's a character defect. Why would I hold on to this? Question 10. And I considered here to punish. So this is actually not my work. This is a work that was put together in one of our previous workshops. Why would I hold on to this? So this particular resentment for having a mental anxiety and depression. I am the victim of addiction and mental illness. So what do I do when I feel that I'm the victim of this disease? I isolate, I punish myself, I neglect my physical care, I oversleep, I overeat, I gossip, I judge others negatively, I criticize myself. I stay in unhealthy relationships because I can gossip and they won't reject me. All right, do you see this? You can read it in detail. It's in the Way of Life document. What do I do when I feel like the victim? And this person did a wonderful exploration. What is it I do? And we come down to the end, character defects. She's felt fear, self-pity, self-reliance, delusional thinking, lack of acceptance. Why would I hold on to these character defects? Why would I hold on to this behavior? She has put here to reject myself, no, to punish myself and avoid having to manage myself independently, to avoid being responsible. If I reject myself first, then no one can reject me. So it's to try, so to keep myself safe. So this, she hasn't written that, but this behavior of isolating and punishing myself and not accepting me keeps me safe from rejecting me. I feel safe. So if I was working with her, I would be looking for ways, alternative ways that you can feel safe. What are other things you can do to remind yourself that you are safe today? So these are, until we have an alternative, we're gonna stay in this cycle. The core here is this feeling of safety. I will reject you first. Oh, wait, I will reject myself first. Then no one can reject me. Then no one can hurt me by rejecting me. I reject myself first. You see how we just did that? I'll finish up with my real role. I now realize I am the woman. What does it say? I am the woman who victimizes myself. So up the top, I am the victim of this mental illness. I am the woman who victimizes myself. I am the woman who neglects my self-care. I am the woman who lacks acceptance and self-care. So she's sort of developed a real role. Now she can move forward. Now I have a vision. My vision, and I will be next week talking about vision, but where do we move from here? I'm going to do a seven-step prayer and then open up for questions. When people come to the end of this work, I invite you to do a seven-step prayer. Question 10 is inviting step six, the meditation on what am I willing to let go of? Am I willing to let go of this artificial safety? Am I willing to let go of rejecting myself today? Am I willing? It was one of my first, I was 24 years old and I called myself all sorts of names. Used to call myself bad names all the time out loud. And my early days sponsor, She said, I want you to ban that word from your mouth. I don't want you to say that word again. That negative self-harming word, I want you to cut that word out. And I was willing to do it. It took years for the thinking to change that I was a terrible person. In fact, it still comes back to me, but I stopped saying the word so much so I can't even tell you what it is because I don't like saying the word. I haven't said these kind of negative words about myself for 26 years now. It's a long time of letting go of the behavior. It's part of my connection to spirit is to change my behavior, let go of the self-harm that I used to do one day at a time so that I can become the vision. So in here, I am the woman who victimizes myself so and neglects my self-care. So it, then we create from here, we create a vision. I am the woman who makes time for self-care today. I just made that up on the spot, but you see how I got it. The opposite. I am the woman. I'm not doing it today, but it's my vision of who I will become, informed by this work. All right. And then I'll finish with a seven-step prayer. On page 76, if you don't mind opening your books. Page 76 has the seventh step prayer, and I at the word character in the prayer, I get everyone to put an asterisk in the book and to focus. Every time we say the seventh step prayer, we change the words. That wakes us up. My creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character, including rejecting myself and lacking self-care, which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen. So this today was kind of the longest chunk of work where we looked at column three and column four. To encourage you and inspire you to do the work and to start to introduce that seven-step prayer into your work. Don't wait. Start today. Start to introduce a seven-step prayer into your work. And you see that I added a few of the character defects that were in there. If was it Laurie? Laura was still here, I would say that character defect of self-loathing. Or self-abandon, which is of my usefulness to you, that's to the spirit and to my fellows. I'm not useful when I'm using. So I pray to be useful today, and I'm going to need strength. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding, to lean into that. So I focus my energy to the character defect that is damaging my life today. Knowing tomorrow it'll be a different one. So, it's like we grow and we change. There's a lot more. I'm going to come to questions now and close the screen share. So, thank you so much. Thank you, everyone, for your patience and showing up and any work that you have done. And to the newer members, I'm sending you some energy. You don't have to do any of this work. Just show up and be part of the community and listen along. And the chat is open. If you want to exchange contact details, please do that. If you are wanting to be part of a study group and you're not part of a study group yet, put it in the chat. Ask to be part of whatever you need. And Arlene, I have you first. You want to jump on and tell me what was your question? Go ahead. Anyone, please raise your hands if you have a question. Can you unmute Arlene? Let me just get you there. You'll get there. Just give it a second. There's a button down the bottom. It says unmute. There you go.
Perfect. Okay, so when I don't understand a word, the first thing I do is look it up in the dictionary. So I looked up the word perceived because I'm a little bit unclear as to my perceived role. Now, my understanding of the word perceived is, let me just tell you what I found. It's to feel, grasp, realize, recognize, seen, and thought of. So how I am thought of, my perception is my reality.
Yep.
So,
Give me an example, Arlene. Give me an example. So perceive you've got your five senses, so sense, sight, hear, touch, taste, and there's also perhaps intuition, or there's other senses in there too that help us to come together. What do you feel the role is? So when I told you I was the rejected friend, I felt it. I felt it. You want to feel it. You want to perceive it. It's real. I am the rejected friend. She didn't invite me to her birthday party, and my stomach drops. I am the rejected friend. Does that make sense? So I
Yes,
perceive it.
yes, 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 yes. Okay, I got that. Okay, I'm gonna hang on to that. That's it.
All
Because
right.
with the ego, you know what I mean? It could be my perception can be, that I am a completely, like dysfunctional, or it could be, I am, like the greatest thing since sliced bread.
That's it. That's it. That's it.
It depends on,
Yep. And be mindful. Yeah, be mindful with the perceived role. We're looking for the who's the column one and what are they doing to me?
Okay, because really, I'm going to tell you, I've done a lot of that, but I'm really trying to work on the self now.
So
Self.
when I'm resentful at
Self.
myself, the perceived role, the easiest, most common one that comes up with resentment against myself is I am the victim of my whatever it is that's going on for you, my poor boundaries. I'm the victim of my
You
codependency.
see,
I'm
like
the victim.
right now what I'm working on is the feeling the victim of circumstances.
No, but that's not myself. Just a minute. What was the column
Okay.
one and two? Be brief, but what was your column one is me and column two is?
So many papers here.
Oh no, but you just said circumstances, Arlene. So then you're resentful at the circumstances, not at myself. So you when you do a
Okay.
resentment at yourself, you've moved beyond the circumstances. Yeah, go ahead. What are you resentful at?
I am resenting that I don't know how to cope with the situ with the circumstances that I find myself in.
So then I'm the victim of my lack of coping. Like I'm the victim of my anxiety or my crazy mind that doesn't sort of logically doesn't see things. So I'm the victim of my blind brain or I'm the victim of my anxiety,
Blind spots.
people pleasing. I'm the victim of people pleasing. I'm the victim of my Who this? It's usually something to do with what brought us into a 12-step room that is part of we get hijacked. So my brain gets hijacked, my body gets hijacked. What we're really usually focusing, recognizing is I'm the victim of that hijacking that goes on. So you're not coping. Let's move on. Just
Okay,
have a
thank you.
go, Arlene, and keep working through it.
Thank
So we're
you.
going. Yeah, you're so welcome. People in the chat are looking for study groups. If you have a study group, just put your numbers and share and even just reach out to each other. It'd be great to that. Jeannie, welcome. So good to see you and I hope to hear you.
It's working now. That sound good? Yes.
Yes, it's fabulous. Go ahead.
When you were talking about being, I am the victim of my codependent role. I've given myself away for affection and attention from others. You mentioned that we learn then to do our own self-care. What does that look like? I know that's really.
Yeah. Have you written the worksheet out? You've got to write the worksheet out first. See, we want to jump ahead, but you've got to do the work. So, because it's going to be informed by questions 1, 2, and 3. When I feel that victim of my codependency, so if I'm resentful at myself for my codependent, like poor relationship choices, what do I do? Because that, what you do when you feel like the victim, that is going to, the opposite of that is going to be your self-care. You know?
That's what you said, and like, okay.
Like, when I feel like the victim, I isolate. So maybe the self-care is going to be joining a social knitting club, right? It's like, it doesn't mean that I have to bombard myself every day and become a social butterfly. I'm not a social butterfly, but my self-care. Yeah, what is the self-care? It's going to be the opposite of my disease behavior that I do when I feel like the victim.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah, you're so, so welcome. So I joined different social groups, but sometimes I find it overwhelming too. So self-care is sometimes stepping away because I'm, you know, you've just got to find a balance. What is healthy for you? And you don't have to be, it may not be what's healthy for me or for Kathy or for Joan or for Cheryl. It's what is the next healthy thing for Jeannie to do? Monique, when you're ready, just unmute. We will close up soon. So last chances for questions. There is homework. Have you posted the homework in the chat? It's just continuing with assignment 19, which we gave out last week. But if you, Marina, could post it into the chat. It's this column 4. So doing your column 3s and column 4s, don't beat yourself up if you don't get it. Just try to do one. But you know what else? Just read the examples that are there and lean in. Give yourself permission to just audit the class. Just show up and listen. You don't have to become an expert at all this work. Just show up. And do you know what that means to audit a class? You just show up and you listen and you allow it to sink in without forcing yourself to have to do it all. Just show up and listen and allow your heart to open up. Monique, welcome.
Hi, Joe. Hi, everybody. Joe, I just wanted to ask, one of the ones I struggle with in column 3 was something that my father did to my mum, or something he told her. I mean, I completed it, but I, because it was a bit different to something being actually said to me or done to me, it was something I witnessed that made me feel upset, or something he said that he told my mum. I mean, my mum has passed away since then, but it's sort of, I just wasn't 100% sure.
Yeah,
an example.
There's many ways to approach it. So, right. And that, so I, even just that example, I can see many ways that that might be impacting you. So what did you do? What did you write up? What was your column 1 and column 2?
I said, that I resented my father for the way that he treated my mother.
And then then I would put an example. So I'd put in brackets, what is one negative thing or something that he did, a word, phrase that he said that you still remember and still causes you pain? And if you're happy to share it, or if it's okay to share, do you want to share it now?
One of them was when she was dying in her nursing home, that as soon as he heard that she was palliative, he started telling the rest of the family, what clothes do you want? What items do you want? Yeah. And I was afraid that she could hear, even though she was unconscious.
Yeah. So I would say your column 1 is my father, my column 2 for how he treated my mum, and then in brackets, for giving away her clothes while she speaking badly, like giving away her clothes while she was still alive, right? She's hearing that stuff. So I would put in brackets, what you want to do is to capture that emotion, that sadness, because that's what's an anchor that is drowning us. That's the resentment that will kill us. The luxury of others is to hold on to it. I need to let it go. That doesn't mean that we become doormats. We do need to, this seems like someone you're going to need boundaries around, and you're going to have some history with grief, or there's going to be some sadness there. So then you move into the perceived role. In this role, he's your father, I'm the daughter. So in this role, I am the abused daughter. So he's not caring for you as a daughter. He's creating an unsafe environment. So I would look at the words, I am the abused, neglected daughter. So I would look at those two. He's neglecting his role as a patriarch, as a mentor, as a leader. He's the father, and he's behaving like he's not behaving well. All right. So I am the abused, neglected daughter. And now, Monique, is the hard part, everyone. Because everyone, we feel that. Do you feel it? That's what we need to do. We need an anchor so that we can feel the emotions. Because our disease is to stifle and run away and submerge those emotions. They're too hard. So what we're doing here, and sometimes we get tears, absolutely, right? Because this is real life. But what we do in column four for the turnaround is we let go, disregard him. He's maybe being an asshole, right? He's not safe. He's not being kind. He's not being considerate. But we are, for this work, for my recovery, for my health, I'm going to disregard him. And I'm going to look at when I feel like the abused, neglected daughter. How do I behave? And it might be that you shut down, that you go into a self-harm by using or poor, what do you do? So you look at what actions do I take? So it might be that I go into tea, like go into media, like I just sit and watch TV, or I shut down, or I isolate, or what behavior do you do? And then you go to question two, the self. And I would look at self-pity, self-righteous, how dare he, and self-loathing, perhaps, like some self-directed anger going on. And maybe the delusional thinking. You know, there's a delusion that fathers are healthy, that all fathers are responsible people. People are just people. Anyone can become a dad almost. Like, you know, it's like there's no certificate or there's no hurdle. It's just, can you like have sex and then you get pregnant? It's like this fellow is a dad, but he's not behaving well at all. All right. So there's a delusion that fathers should behave well. That's a delusional thought. It would be nice, but it's not real. There's maybe another delusional thought that I should be able to handle him. Okay, that's a delusional thought that I should be able to handle him. You know? So just looking at those questions one, two, and three, there are other questions you can have a go on. But just while we're here, because this is real life, let's jump down to maybe the character defect is self, maybe, and I'm imagining some self-abandon maybe might be going on, or in terms of character defects, maybe you go into self-loathing. I actually don't know. Did you write something down for that last one?
No, not yet.
No. So just looking at, when you look at questions one, two, and three, what are the character defects that you're going into? It might be not too bad, like it might just be a little bit of self-pity going on. All right, delusional thinking. a few shoulds. He should, I should, they should, right? There's shoulds going on. So that's delusional thinking. And maybe some abandon. I'm abandoning myself by shutting down. Okay, so these are character defects. Then you go to the next one. Why would I hold on to those character defects? Why would I shut down? It helps me to avoid conflict with him. So I don't have to say, I don't have to stand up. I don't have to place myself at risk. Okay. And then you go to the real role. And by the way, I'm not suggesting that you do. Sometimes the better choice is to be quiet because you're not safe. He will yell. He will abuse. It's not, you're not safe. We are not always safe to speak up. Okay, but you just move forward with gentle guidance. But this feeling of safety, maybe I need to look at that in sponsorship. What can I do to remind myself that I am with spirit today, that I will be okay? Right? So what can I do to strengthen my connection? Because when he's around, I lose my spirit and he becomes my spirit. He's my source of power and he's not well. So the character defect could be that I lose myself. So you just talk to sponsorship and think about step two, how can I connect to spirit when he's in the room? Like, you know, when how can I strengthen that? And then question 10, up the top, I'm the, what did we say was the perceived role? I'm the abused, neglected daughter, right? Perhaps the real role is I'm losing my mum. So perhaps the real role is I'm the daughter in grief to acknowledge that I'm experiencing my own grief. Maybe the real role is I am the daughter in grief. Who is shutting down? Like that's the character defect going on, perhaps. So I made some assumptions here, but do you see what I did? So
Yes.
maybe the real role is I'm the woman in grief or the daughter in grief because you're losing your mum, right? I'm the woman in grief, and then look at what am I doing that you're not happy with? Perhaps I'm shutting down. Okay, no, or I'm in self-reliance. Trying to fix them or fix myself. So I'm the woman in grief in active self-reliance. Okay, and that then gives us a vision of who we want to become. So I want to become the woman in connection to spirit today. That's my vision. So that gives it, so these this work gives me a vision of who I can become. Thank you for those that were able to stay back. I do need to close up. This is crucial. This is the transformation. This is where we are today. I invite you to talk to each other. We do need study groups. We do need connections. I wish you well. Don't be afraid to just audit the work this time. Like, just listen. Take whatever you can away from the work and come back again next year. We're not going anywhere. And this is a marathon. We have a lifetime. So the work we these worksheets keep going every year. Every we've been going now 5 years. This is, I think, the sixth year, and yeah, we just keep going round and round. Please close with I'm just doing a quick prayer. We do the set aside prayer to open up, and for me, I do the serenity prayer to close up. See, if I just hold Monique and I hold your experience of grief and people behaving badly. You're not, it's not unique, it's everywhere. Like, this is a common thing, but bless, bless, bless. Let's hold on to that. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. I cannot change my dad's behavior, and I cannot change what's going on for my mum, and I cannot change my heart racing, my reactivity, my own grief. Okay? I can't change it. It's natural for me to feel grief, and I can't change anyone else, and I can't change the world. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. Courage to change the things I can. I'm going to need courage to speak up in a meeting. I'm going to need courage to get to bed and have some healthy sleep time. I'm going to need courage to pray. It takes courage For me, as a food fellowship person, it takes courage to peel carrots. Simple behavior, but it takes courage because I don't want to do it. Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. That's what we do this work, why we show up, so that I can get a little bit of wisdom and show up one more day. I invite you all to unmute, and I really am. This is a hard part of the work to be in. It's the meat. It's the, what is it? Meat and potatoes.
Yeah,
Tough.
the meat and
Keep showing
potatoes.
up.
It was wonderful. Thank you,
Yeah.
Joanne. Very
Thank you so
helpful.
much.
Thank
Thank you
you,
so much,
Joanne.
Joanne.
Thank you, Joanne.
Thank you,
Oh,
Joe.
thank
Thanks,
everybody.
everybody.
Happy
Thank
Fourth of
you so
July.
much.
Have a good one. Hello,
Thank
Ruthie.
you.
Aww.